Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I consider it a great privilege for me today to be with you in this most beautiful church, not only to offer the Holy Eucharist with you, but also to share with you some information about the many blessings as well as challenges we have in the missions across India, in particular in the mission diocese of Kumbakonam, which is in the southeast state of Madras, India. I'd like to thank your bishop, the director of the Office of the Mission of your diocese, in particular, your pastor, Brother Kanoy, for their great kindness in inviting me to make this appeal on behalf of my bishop. I'd like to especially thank Brother Kanoy for his fabulous hospitality to me and his great missionary zeal. I was so touched to see Father had already visited India and even led a retreat for priests. And I'd like to thank him and also Mr. Bill for their great missionary support and making my visit very fruitful. Let me introduce myself. Many have asked me when I was converted. My family has been Catholic at least for 250 years. My sister is a nun. Two of my aunts were nuns. It was, in fact, my grandmother's sister was a nun who had inspired us all in my family to follow Christ more closely. And I have been a priest now for 45 years, seven of which I spent in New York assisting in two parishes while I was doing a doctorate. Now I am back in India, but I come here in the summertime to help my bishop raise funds for the missions. With these words, I would like to remind myself of a valuable piece of advice offered to me by an expert American missionary who asked me one day, "Father Selva, would you like to learn the secret of success in raising funds for the missions?" And this is what he told me. "The shorter a homily, the greater will be the collection," he said. Friends, let me reflect for a few seconds on the readings of today. In the last few weeks, we have heard Jesus explain that he is the bread of life that came down from heaven. Hearing, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall not have life," was challenging, to say the least. Now it is decision time. Can all his disciples accept this? No, not just one, not just a few, but many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. This is shocking for us. These are his disciples. These are people who have accepted and followed Jesus through his teachings, healings, and many miracles. This was not the response Joshua received when he gathered all the tribes of Israel and challenged them to take a stand. They all joined Joshua and his household in pledging to continue to serve the Lord. And in this context, Jesus addresses the 12, "Will you also leave me?" Now, he also addresses the same question to you and to me, living in the 21st century. Let me place before you for a reflection and a model, Mother Teresa of Calcutta, who was once asked by Malcolm Muggeridge, author of the documentary on Mother Teresa, entitled Something Beautiful for God, and she asked Mother Teresa, saying why she went to Mass every day at 4:30 early morning. The answer, Mother Teresa, was this: "I want to follow Jesus. I want to walk like a child of light. The star of my life is Jesus, she said. If I do not meet my master every day and be strengthened by this bread from heaven, how can I draw strength to meet all the challenges of a ministry to the poor, the sick, the orphaned, the elderly, the lepers, and the women who have no one to care for them? The life-giving bread from heaven propels me to action, to bring hope to the hopeless, and to become the beacon of light to all those in the darkness of pain, suffering, sickness, poverty, and misery of all sorts. And that's why Mother Teresa of Calcutta often told us friends and benefactors who came to visit her, "I can't do great things for the Lord without you. Neither can you do great things for the Lord without the help of the thousands of the missionaries whom the Lord has placed all over the world. But together, you and the missionaries and the missionaries and you can become the heartbeat of Christ, the visible face of Jesus, and the outstretched arms of Christ, ready to lift up those who are oppressed in society." And that's why the mission office of your diocese invites a missionary like me every year to speak to you, so that by offering your prayers and financial support with this Spirit of Christ, you'll be able to become partners in the mission of Christ. Let's see how we can do it. Now, coming to speak to you about India, what is the population of India like? It is 1.2 billion. One-sixth of the world's population lives there. 80% are Hindus, 13% Muslim, Christians are just 3%. Due to the immense missionary activities undertaken by missionaries who came to India from the US, Canada, France, Ireland, Italy, Spain, and Portugal, India today has 158 Catholic dioceses, one of which is mine. It was started in 1899 by missionaries from France. Today, my diocese alone has 213,000 Catholics, 268 priests, 610 nuns, 40 seminarians, 93 parishes, and 610 missions. Of these 610, 200 missions do not have a chapel, and with the help you give us today, my bishop hopes to construct a chapel in one of those missions. And you'll be surprised to learn that it costs just $25,000 to construct a chapel large enough to accommodate 200 people and strong enough to last 100 years. Now, one of the blessings we have in my diocese is we abound in vocations to priesthood. In the past 10 years, we had 68 new priests. But the problem is, while we have quite a number of young men ready to join the seminary, the diocese doesn't have the funds to educate them all. This year, we had to turn away 13 of the applicants, not because they didn't qualify, only because we didn't have the funds. And it costs just $2,000 a year to educate a seminarian, while here in the U.S., it would cost $45,000 or more. I'd like to invite some of you, if it's possible, to sponsor a seminarian in my diocese through your parish. That would be a great way of promoting vocations in the Universal Church. In fact, when I heard about the shortage of priests here many, many years ago, I started mobilizing priests from India over here, and I brought 278 of them to have served in our diocese as a kind of missionary collaboration by way of sharing our blessings with the churches here. Another blessing we have in my diocese is for the past 103 years, we have one of the largest leprosy hospitals in the world. Leprosy can make you look so horrible as the time goes. Finally, your own family wants you out. And yet we have 25 nuns serving them with Christ-like love. In fact, 95% of the patients in this hospital are non-Christians. You may ask, why waste mission money in treating patients who are non-Catholics? Friends, we like to continue this hospital the way it is, by accepting everyone who walks in there, because that is a great way of proclaiming to the non-Christians that our Lord Jesus became man to embrace people of all nations, religions, languages, and colors into one family of love, and to heal them, not only of their spiritual ailments, but also of their physical ailments, be it as bad or dreadful as that of a Hansen's disease. In fact, this hospital for leprosy patients is a powerful way on the part of a church diocese to tell the world that Jesus is a universal Savior and that he doesn't discriminate at all. We also have 16 medical dispensaries staffed by nuns who are nurses who give free medication to people in the remote areas, free of cost. And also we have 12 orphanages for boys and girls where we take care of children who have been abandoned by their family. We have another 126 schools funded by the government where most of the students should be non-Christians. By catering to their educational needs, we want to tell them how Jesus loves them and is interested in their welfare. It is through these institutions that we're able to live out our commitment to Christ, although it may be very challenging. Let me speak to you about one of the most challenging situations in diocese. One of the great social problems of India is the caste system. One is born into a low caste, a middle caste, or a high caste. There are hundreds of them. I'm putting them into three groups. Unfortunately, 2/3 of my people belong to this group, called low caste. And they are hurting a lot because of the conversion to Christian faith. The Constitution of India would give a lot of benefits to people who belong to the so-called low caste, something comparable to the affirmative action here. But the day someone converts to Christian faith, he or she loses all of those benefits. Because of this discrimination, thousands of Catholics who belong to this group are returning to Hinduism, not because they do not love Christ, but because of survival. And my diocese is unable to compete with the government in providing those benefits to Catholic converts, which are enjoyed by their siblings who continue to be Hindus. But we wanted to do something. Therefore, we started 12 homes for children where we give them everything free, free food, free lodging, and a good education. And it costs just $200 a year to support a child in one of these homes. Part of the help you give us today will be used to support children. Also, these people are deprived of so many benefits, educational scholarships and the higher level, also a free home, and the government will give them. Now, let me draw your attention to this envelope marked Mission Cooperative Plan. These envelopes are on the pews. You may use this envelope to give your support to my diocese in the second collection today, if you are prepared. And if the Spirit of the Lord moves you to do something more than what you are prepared to do today, you are most welcome to take it home and return it in one of the following weeks. And if you happen to write a check, please issue a check in favor of your parish church, as usual, St. John's. As long as your check is in this envelope, it will reach my diocese. Let me conclude my homily here with the words of Mother Teresa, the great role model of a missionary, who told us priests gathered in a meeting one day, "If I had been able to do anything great for God or for his people poor," she continued, "it is primarily due to the great generosity of the people of the United States." Let me add my own to the words of Mother Teresa. If my missionaries back home are able to continue the mission of Christ so effectively in so many other ways about which I'm not able to speak to in detail, is all due to great generosity in the past years, not only through your contribution to the Society for the Propagation of Faith on World Mission Sunday in October, but also through Mission Cooperative Plan. Therefore, on behalf of my bishop and the people of my diocese, I'd like to express a special word of thanks to each of you and assure you that we'll continue to pray for you in all our churches throughout my diocese. Thank you.